to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and a little bit south of us is Mike the Grizz in the city of Peace, La Paz, Baja California. Right now, we're trying to get through to Mike Sheridan, or actually, he's trying to get through to us. He's calling from England, and he just got back from Christmas Island, and he's got a fishing report for us, Mike.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder if he saw Santa Claus.
Well, I don't think it's a little early in the year for that, but maybe.
Yeah, but Santa Claus likes to go over there and bonefish.
Well, apparently that's what he was talking about. It's, you know, I've heard a little bit about it, and apparently it's quite a destination for fishing.
Yeah, it's great. It really is. I fished it over there.
It's
great bonefishing and some nice sized ones too.
Mm-hmm. Gets very little pressure. And,
yeah, well, that's because Santa Claus and his reindeer really don't like people messing around on there.
Okay, that could be it. That could be it. But, you know, I was talking to him before the show, and he was quite anxious because there's, you know, all the exotics, and, of course, the bonefish was one of the things he was excited about.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good stuff over there. And, you know, you can wade out there and you catch them tailing. You can throw a fly right in front of them. And they're not so spooky like they are in other parts of the world nowadays.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll get in touch with him real quick. If not, we'll, I'm sure we can keep people entertained for a while.
But, yeah, we can make up something anyway.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the trips that we're looking to put together for next year. You know, we've got this year we're going down to East Cape on November 2nd, and we're going to be doing that again next year. But in the last couple of years, we've kind of gotten out of it a little bit, mainly because of the economy. But things are starting to pick up a little bit, and things are looking a little better. So we want to see if we can put a trip together to definitely to La Paz and to East Cape and maybe Cabo San Lucas. And for sure, Alaska. I think we've got the dates down for Alaska on July 19th.
Yeah, you know, that give a person a whole different style of fishing. You know, they can fish some really good saltwater stuff. There's one thing, John, we're going to put together, too. I didn't hear you say up by Punta Reojos. The only place really right now in the world where you can catch giant, and I mean giant, 300-400 pound black sea bass. And Charles and I are going up there next week. And I mean, it's catch and release, but still, to bring in a 400-pound boy and get some pictures with it, I mean, you know, where can you do that in the world? And we'll be doing that, John, mm-hmm. as you know.
Well, this.
I
was going to say this year has just been a phenomenal year, at least on the West Coast, all the way up and down. The salmon have been thick. You know, the lobster season, even in you know, coastal California, from coastal and Southern California, has been the best in years. We've got exotics coming up from Mexico because the water's been warm. And was it this last month? We, you know, world record breaking yellowfin tuna at 447 pounds. And I understand there was another right about that same time. Because it was multiple people that had the rod, but it was a 1,240 something like that pound black marlin.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of such a messed up thing, because I guess when you get a fish on that big, really, who's really thinking about what's legal, not legal, don't touch the rod, what line we use?
I'll tell you what.
Let's just catch the thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, that may sound like a good idea for the first 3 or 4 hours, but that takes like 12 or 14 hours. You're just going to throw the pole in the water. Hey, Grizz, we've got Mark Lazane on the line with us from Bass Angler Magazine, so let's talk a little bit about bass angling.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, good, Mark.
Hey, you know, if you want to find out about bass angling, you just need to pick up the latest issue of Bass Angler, flip over to the table of contents, and you have just a plethora of articles to help you catch fish anywhere, any place, no matter how long or how young or old you are. How's that?
Well, that sounds, it couldn't be any better than that.
Doesn't get any better. I'm going to give you a special offer right now. $5, you can get a trial issue. Just go to bassmag.com, look over on the right-hand side, click on the little issue that says trial, and you can get it right there.
Well, that sounds really great. Everybody ought to do it. Because, I mean, you can always learn something. It doesn't matter how long you fished, how old you are, how young you are, or where you fished. There's always somebody that knows just a little bit something better or different than you do that can always help you out.
Exactly. You know, fishing, I mean, fishing is fishing. And, you know, I mean, unless you can get down there and talk to them and they can tell you what's going on, it's all, there's always a little mystery involved.
Well, the thing of it is also, Mark, you know they lie. So you can't believe what they tell you anyway.
Just like the guys catching them.
Yeah, exactly right. So that sounds great. And so you got articles of every type.
We got, you know, we go from catching big fish to finesse fishing, small baits, big baits, fishing with kids, tournament stuff, technique specific, season specific, how to fish out of a kayak, you know, just a ungodly amount of articles, 30-plus articles in every issue, so we have a lot of stuff in here.
You mean the kayak people now are going for bass, too?
What's that?
We're getting a lot of people fishing for bass now in kayaks.
Yeah, we got, you know, a lot of people are going out for kayaks. You know, I mean, you know, a brand new bass boat now is pushing $60,000-$70,000 for a, you know, one all decked out with everything. And you know, you can get a kayak, you can load up a kayak with depth finders and everything probably for a couple grand, and you have a Cadillac model and be right out there fishing.
But Mark,
you know, and you can look for some more kayak articles. We're working on doing some more of those. I think that's a market that's up and coming.
Well, half the fun of bass fishing.
You know, it's really getting big up here, or down here, I should say. I mean, everybody's got kayaks, and they're all out there going through the mangroves with them and everything. But, you know, I got a question. I haven't set in one. I have no intention of doing so. But that looks like it would hurt your back. Have you been in one, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, they got everything in there. You know, and I don't own one, but I've been in a few of them. And they have nice little comfy seats in them. And, you know, I mean, it's a little work. It's you know, it'd be good for you to get out there in one, actually. But, you
well,
know,
that's the problem. I have to where I put my legs.
You can stick them up under there. You know, and they got ones that go on the ocean that are pretty wide, too. You can hook in and tie into one of them big rooster fish and have it drag you up and down the coast. And I could imagine that'd just be a kick.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Because
well,
I didn't imagine
a 100-pounder not too long ago, but imagine that. That thing would drag you around for an hour.
Well, it took me an hour and 47 minutes in a panga. Imagine
you know,
what it would
hook
do.
That thing up on the front and drug a popper out the back and hooked up on both ends.
Yeah, you could make it troll for you.
So, Mark, are you saying that bass angling is moving into kayaks now also?
You know what I'm saying? Because of the economy and that boats are, you know, relatively expensive, there's a lot of people out there that really can't afford them. You know, the economy's still a little tough, so you know, coming up with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 is a pretty good feat. You know, loans are hard to get now, so you know, guy can get into a kayak. So that people are going that way. Yes.
Well, the only problem is, I don't think I know a kayak that'll go 80 miles an hour.
We could hook one on the back of my Triton and take you for a little ride. That might be fun.
Okay. So you've got an article in Bass Angler magazine about kayak fishing for bass, and I would think that, you know, if you're not tournament fishing where they have to run back and forth across the lake at a high speed, that you'd probably be more effective out of a kayak.
You can kind of sneak up on them and, you know, get up close and personal with them. And, you know, one thing might make you a better angler, even if you do have a, you know, a fancy bass boat.
Okay.
You get in a kayak, you know, you're not strapped to one small location because you can go a little ways, but, you know,
Mark,
you're not going to run 20 miles all the way down
Mark,
the other
Mark,
end of the lake. You're probably going to fish.
Mark, we're out of time again, Mark. We appreciate that. Go to bassangler.com. Bassbag.com. You listen to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island, minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
You can fish from a boat, or you can stand on shore, or you can use a pontoon with carpet on the floor. You can sit upon a dock or wade out to a big old rock on fishing, fishing, fishing. Everyone should try it, it's really lots of fun. I'll have to end this song quick, cause fishing I am bound.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. We also have the Grizz on the line with us from the City of Peace of La Paz, Baja California, sir. And from the other side of the world, we have Rich from St. Croix Rods on the line with us. And I think we're going to find out a little bit about St. Croix Rods. All I know is that they're made 100% in North America. And
hi, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, buddy. Chris, what's up down there?
Well,
everything, man. There's just big marlin everywhere. It's
marlin
scary.
Movie?
Yeah, fishing's great. It really is. How's everything over there with you? Are you in Zacatecas still?
No. We've got one of our facilities is in Zacatecas. I'm up in northern Wisconsin.
That's a long ways from home.
Starting to wind down.
Well, everything's getting cold.
Water temperature.
I was showing John down here.
Probably low 40s.
Oh no, that's cold.
Yeah.
You know, down here, the water is warmer than the air, so it's like 87, 89 degree water temperature, and it was 84 high yesterday. Got down to 69 with a light breeze. I mean, that means, you know, when you're catching those big marlin, that breeze comes off, you're not even working up a good sweat.
Why am I up here then?
that seems to be your problem.
We're working, Rich, we're going to be working on that. Matter of fact, we got a spot for you if you want to come down November 2nd. We've still got one room left we can put you up in.
I don't know about that. I think I've got a date with a tree stand around that time.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, deer season's in full gear up here.
Is it gun now or bow?
It is bow right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rich. Do you shoot bow?
I do both. I do bow and gun. Yep.
Yeah, I do too. But we better not talk about that because John will get mad at us. We're not talking
about
that.
No, we want to talk about St. Croix rods and fishing rods, Grizz, if you don't mind.
I can do that.
First of all,
but
Rich,
I hear he's going to make a bow and arrow too, just like he makes these. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, you can make arrows. All right, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Rich, I assume that if you were going to go down to Baja, that you've got rods that you could take with you?
We've got, right now we produce 100, and these are actual numbers, 159 different saltwater rods. So we can pretty much cover the gamut down there. You've got your surf rods for the guy that never wants to leave the beach. You've got your inshore stuff, and then you get into your heavier boat rods. Fly rods if you want saltwater fly rods.
So, you got some fly rods?
You got
what it. Fly rods are you, what are you throwing for fly rods?
It depends on what I'm chasing. If I chase muskies, I'm throwing a 10 weight. And I would assume down there that you'd be using 10s and 12s, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I use, I very rarely ever use a 9, but I'm generally throwing a 10 or a 12. I'm looking for a good 14.
You know, we're talking about doing a few of the blue water sticks like that, and 14 would be the first one we do.
Yeah, because those big blues and blacks, you know, I've not had a 12 blow up on me, but I don't horse them either.
Yeah, yeah.
Rich, when you're building the rods, a heavier rod, does it make any difference on the length, or are they all like 9 foot?
No, most are 9 foot. You know, we'll go up to 10 foot, 10 and a half foot, too, on some lighter stuff. You know, specific nymph rods, that type of thing, where you require a little bit longer rod. So, it varies anywhere from 7 feet to, 10.5 on the fly stuff.
Well,
depending on what you want to do.
Other than the offshore rods, then, what, I know that you got plenty of freshwater stuff. And where are you located, by the way?
A little town called Park Falls, Wisconsin, which is 55 miles south of Lake Superior.
Oh, okay. Well, you probably... Do you have ice fishing rods?
31 models.
you're up there close to Ely, Minnesota, aren't you?
Ely's not far. You could be to Ely in about 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
I used to fly out of Ely and go up and fish Moss Lake and Clay Lake.
Yeah, come on up. We'll go again.
Mm-hmm. It's too cold right now. You come here first in the winter, and I'll go back with you.
Yeah, we like that. We don't like that hard water fishing.
Late December up there is very good for big lake trout through the ice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of curious because I've never done it, and maybe one of these days I will. But, when you think of ice fishing, you just get an auger, put a hole in the water. What special do you need about a rod for that?
Well, it depends. I mean, your number one species everybody chases is panfish. So then you've got your lighter action rod, your ultralights, your lights. Length is determined by whether or not you're inside a shack or if you're outside just sitting on a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outside on the bucket, then a little bit longer rods, 28-inch, 32-inch. If you're inside, you might be restricted to a 24-inch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Heavier species, when you start getting into walleyes, things like that, pike, and then the Lakers, that's when you need the bigger, heavier sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger sticks, 34-inch heavy, that kind of thing.
And
you know what? I got to pass. I can't imagine sitting my butt on a bucket in the middle of a frozen lake.
Well, I was
going to
say that the inside sounded better to me. But let's talk some more about some different rods that St. Croix makes. First of all, primarily, what materials do you use?
About 95% of our stuff is carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
We still do a handful of glass rods, and we do use glass in a few different applications in conjunction with carbon fiber also.
Okay.
But our main lineup are all carbon fiber blanks, grades of carbon fiber blanks.
Yeah, and it's only been, about 10 years since they've been around?
Well, carbon fiber started to make its debut in the 70s, didn't really get perfected until probably the 90s, and then really starts to get perfected into the early 2000s to where it is today.
Right.
So it's really come a long way.
Okay. And what is the difference between some of the earlier rods and what's now? Is it the materials themselves?
It's the actual fibers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other biggest elements that nobody ever talks about is the resin. The resin that binds all those together is a huge element, but it never gets discussed much because you start getting into all the scientific stuff that people don't want to sit and listen to.
Right. Okay. That sounds
good.
But
that's where the greatest advancements have been in the last 4 years, are in the actual resins, the glue that bind everything together.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the difference between fiberglass and the carbon fiber rods. What are some of the advantages and disadvantages?
Two pretty distinct differences in those components of those two different properties of those. Materials, glass will stretch. Carbon fiber will stretch to a certain degree, and then it will shear.
You mean bend or stretch?
Stretch.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can only stretch carbon fiber so far, and it's going to break. Whereas glass has the ability to stretch a greater distance. So therefore, when you feel a glass rod, you're going to feel that it's a softer action. It feels softer because it's stretching more. Carbon will stretch to a certain point, and then it just doesn't want to stretch anymore.
Then it blows up.
Then it goes bang.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
But, softer actions have certain applications. Stiffer, faster actions obviously have certain applications, too. So, it really depends on what a guy's doing, to try to tailor a rod for his needs. Crankbait fishermen, bass guys, they love glass rods. So we produce glass rods for those guys. But if they're throwing a jig, on a chunk of pork. They want sensitivity, so they're going to the carbon fiber, and they're also going to get the stiffness out of it. So it's like a toolbox. There's a tool for every application. All the tools are a little bit different.
It's incredible, isn't it? I remember when I grew up, I had a fishing pole. That was it?
Yeah, it's probably about 5.5 feet long, either a medium heavy or a heavy, and that was it.
It was an eagle claw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was happy, and I caught everything that I needed to catch, a catfish or a bass or a trout.
Yeah.
And now you should see my closet.
Yeah. And Eagle Claw's still there. They're still making a great product, and, you know, they've been serving the fishermen's needs for a long time.
82 years.
Yep.
I'm representing them down here in Mexico right now. I just come from the Bisbee tournament, giving away their hooks to the fishermen.
Yeah,
well, Rich, we're going to have to cut this one a little bit short. Give us an idea where St. Croix rods are available.
All your major independent retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And then your big box, your Cabela's, your Gander's, your chains like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very widely distributed.
Okay.
We've got about 1,800 different retail outlets across the U.S. and not hard to find them.
And I assume that you've got a website.
StCroixRods.com, and click on resources, and it'll give you a dealer list for every state.
Okay, so that's StCroixRods.com?
Correct.
Okay. Rich, we appreciate
you. You got to give me some down here so I can try them.
Okay.
All right. Let me know what you need.
Okay, Rich. We're going to be talking to you real soon. We're going to bring you back on and see if we can get a little bit more time with you. We really appreciate that. And right now we're going to see, I think we've got, we did finally find Mike that's calling in from England someplace. It just got back from Christmas Island. I believe that we have you, Mike. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, John.
There you go. Hey, sorry about that. There's been, you know, trying to call in, it's been a little bit difficult. But you just got back from Christmas Island, and I fished with you or met you in Baja over the last couple of years. But give us a quick idea about Christmas Island, some of the things that you did while you were there.
Yes, please do. Well, Christmas Island, it's a tiny coral island in the middle of the Pacific, part of the Republic of Kiribati. Nearest place of any consequence is Hawaii. So everything is very basic. The lodge that we stayed at was very simple, but the fishing was beyond belief. Some of the best fishing I've ever known. What did we catch? Well, we got some good bonefish, up to about 10 pounds.
Wow.
All on the fly.
Great.
And, you know, that was a new experience for me. I've only ever fished for trout on fly, so that was quite something.
They really scream, don't they, Mike?
Oh, yes. Now, when that line stutter zips out the water and you get them on the reel, a real experience, and particularly to sight cast a fish on my own, hook them, bring them in and release them, rather special.
Yeah. What else did you get besides bonefish?
Well, we moved up a gear. We went on to Giant Trevally. Now, these are
great.
Yeah, I've still got bruises on my stomach where the reel handle rattled me. These were 25 to 100 pounders.
Oh, my Lord!
We wrecked two tarpon rods and burnt out a reel clutch.
Mike, give us a
what a trip!
Yeah. Hey, Mike, give us a quick idea about the size of Christmas Island and how do you get there?
The way that you would get there, I mean, I went with a friend who runs a holiday company from England, a company called Angling Direct Holidays. You know, they can arrange something, but you can get to Christmas Island. It has a once-a-week flight that goes in either from Fiji or from Honolulu. It's a tiny little island. Oh, I think it's about 27 miles long. Basically, it's just a little ring around a coral reef with an opening to the sea. So you have a huge area of flats, and then once you go off the flats, you've got some very serious blue water that hardly ever sees a fishing rod.
Hmm. Oh, that's
out there. We hook sailfish, wahoo, tuna.
And what kind of boats do you have down there? Are they just they have local pangas or something like that, or what do they use?
Very simple, yeah. Pangas, not dissimilar to those that we use in Mexico, John. Probably not quite as sophisticated, but they're one option. The other interesting option that I liked was a local boat. It's like a 30-foot long by sort of about 5-foot canoe with an outrigger on it, and then a little sunshade over the whole lot, and 100 horsepower outboard on the back. And they make good progress through the water, mm-hmm. but are really stable, comfortable, better ride than the pangas, in fact.
Hmm. And what about the accommodations?
Very basic. It was clean, the food was good, but it was no star.
Yeah, no star, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't really a place to take your wife, or anybody else's wife, for that matter.
But it's worth it any time you can catch 10-pound bonefish.
Yeah, quite. In fairness, for next year, there is a new lodge opening, which I believe will have 24-hour electric and air conditioning and warm showers.
Oh, wow,
but
24-hour electric.
I was very happy with the accommodation. We had laundry facilities. We were well fed, and we had somewhere to sleep. And when you'd finished fishing, you had a meal, you went to sleep, you got up, and you went fishing again. So, if you want luxury, probably go to Vegas. If you want some fishing, think about Christmas Island.
And
sounds great.
Who owns Christmas Island?
Do they have any permit there?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is a big range of fish. Minor species I caught there, I caught bluefin, I caught black trevally, I caught triggerfish. One afternoon we've decided it was a little bit rough out, we were going to have a silly competition, and we had what we called a species competition, where whoever caught the most different species, regardless of size, won. And in 2 hours, 15 species won it.
Wow. Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow. No, it sounds like it's great. Just a real quick question. Who owns Christmas Island? What country is it affiliated with?
It's an independent republic.
I'm sorry?
It's part of the Republic of Kiribati, properly pronounced Kiribus. The capital of which I believe is Tarawa. It's a little chain of islands south, east,
okay.
No, southwest, sorry, of Hawaii.
Well, hey, Mike, guess who we have on the line with us? If you don't mind, let's see if we can conference him here real quick. Do you remember Chucky Van Warmer?
Oh, I do, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
hey,
hello.
Chucky, how you doing? We've got a friend of yours that instead of going to Palmas de Cortez this year, just got back from Christmas Island. And that's Mike Sheridan, you know, the limey with a couple of his friends that usually go down the beginning of November.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Chucky, how are you?
Muy bien, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, thank you. Yes, doing well. Had a little change this year, but I'll be back to see you again next year.
Okay, muy bien. I'll tell you, the fishing right now down here is very good.
Is it?
Tuna,
yes.
Dorado. Oh. Giant squid right in front of the hotel. Back again.
Well, it's never let me down when I've been before. I've been very pleased and brought friends with me. And I will be back again next November with a couple of friends, no doubt. But this
very
year
well.
I got the opportunity to do something which was a bit of a one-off, a visit to Christmas Island. So the budget didn't run to both.
Very good. Muy bien. Well, Hopefully the fishing will pick up, you know, it'll be the same next year, and we'll be waiting for you guys down here.
It's been awesome. Hey, Mike, we really appreciate it. I know that how difficult it is, and I don't know what time it is in England, but I know it's pretty late, so we're going to let you go, and thanks for the persistence in getting through to us, and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon.
Pleasure, John. Thank you very much, and just say hello to my good friends from Salt Patrol if you get chance.
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Grizz, did you say the giant squid are in again?
Did I do what?
Or, I'm sorry, Chucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Giant squid right here, front of the hotel.
And that's pretty new, isn't it?
It's been here for quite 2 weeks, I think now. They've been getting, buy the normal bait for marlin and that, and then they take the chum, and go for the tuna.
Right.
But it's been nice, really nice.
Yeah.
Lots of dorado, tuna. That's mainly what they've been catching. We saw some sailfish, and you might say I'm bull crapping or anything, but I'm not.
Okay.
We saw some sailfish jumping from the hotel, so you more or less can figure out, that they're in close. The bait's not that far away, they're eating everything. We got lots of bait, and then the billfish is not far away from the shore.
Well, I'm going to be down there in a couple of weeks, so hopefully things don't change too fast. But the water temperature and the air temperature now?
Air temperature, I would say maybe 90 degrees, 90, 92 maximum.
Uh-huh.
And the water temperature, it's about the same, 84, 85.
Wow. No, that's why I believe that going down early November is the best time to go. It's not too hot, but the fishing is still incredible.
And people might say, okay, 90 degrees is, or 92 is warm, but for Baja,
it's a piece of cake.
Not
yeah,
that, it's not that warm. It's nice.
Yeah,
and nice breeze. We're getting a nice breeze from the north right now. It's been really good. So the air temperature, it drops down a little bit, so it's really, really, really nice. Really nice. I'm not sweating or anything like that. The weather has changed, okay? So it's really nice, my friend.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. So we're certainly looking forward to that. And Grizz, I think, is going to come down with us and maybe shoot a television show while we're down there.
Muy bien. Okay. Well, I'll see you down. When are you guys coming?
November 2nd.
Okay, perfect. Muy bien.
Good.
The Day of the Dead in Mexico. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's always kind of an interesting time of the year. And, it's a big holiday down there at that time. We have Halloween, which is, it's similar but different. Down there, they take it a little bit more serious.
Right.
And, of course, the people in Mexico, they always look for any excuse to have a party.
We have to celebrate what our dead people liked, and they like to party and drink, so we have to do the same thing.
Okay, and I would suggest, again, as we were talking about, if anybody's interested, it's still not too late to get down there. It's been a real busy time, but things are starting to slow off a little bit down there as far as your accommodations.
We're going to be pretty booked the beginning of November, all the way till the 22nd.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of like when we're dropping the. But Salt Patrol is going to be here around the 5th, 6th, so you guys are going to be able to see each other. I heard that say hi to my friends with the Salt Patrol, but we have the Salt Patrol, and we got more people. Another two or three groups coming in, and the last group will be here the 17th to the 22nd. So we still have room available, but that's when our season's kind of ending.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, Chucky, we appreciate all that report, and be very looking forward to come down there and seeing you. And hopefully Grizz will come down there and visit with you also. That sounds fantastic. I was kind of anxious to go. Now I'm really getting excited.
Okay, my friend. We'll see you down here. Okay.
Thank you, Chuckie.
We'll keep them for you. Okay.
Yeah. Tie a few of them off to the buoy.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Chuckie.
You guys take care.
Oh, okay. Chuckie, one more thing.
Talk to you later, Chuckie.
Chuckie, one more thing. Uh-huh. What's the phone number?
Number is 877-777-TUNA.
Yeah. I got that one down. And then you can also go to fishtalkradio.com, and just on the front page where it says Van Warmer Resorts, click on that. And they've actually got some special deals, I believe, still going on through November. So now's the time. Appreciate that, Chuckie.
No problem. See you later.
All righty. Now we're going to go to Spencer and see if we can get a more of a freshwater lake report. Excuse me. Hi, Spencer, give us an idea of where you are and what you got going there.
I'm located out here at Lake Comanche. We're about 15 minutes out of Island, California, and Island's located about 45 minutes east of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, with the cooler weather coming in, we're actually going to be starting our trout plants here in the next week. Meaning, and if we go according to what we did last year, we'll be doing about 8,000 to 10,000 pounds per month until the water temperature gets too warm again.
Wow. Wow, that sounds good. And you've got, I know that you guys have accommodations and facilities there, so people, just all they have to do is show up.
Yeah, all they have to do is show up, or you can call reservations. That would be, number would be 866-763-5121, and you can reserve any of our accommodations as far as campgrounds, cottages. We also have full hookup RVs on the South Shore side.
Mm-hmm. And what's the website?
The website would be www.comancherecreation.com.
ComancheRecreation.com. And, of course, you can always Google Lake Comanche, and it's part of the Cal Parks organization.
So yes, it is.
Besides trout, did you get anything else in there?
We have trout, we have catfish, we have largemouth bass, we have kokanee salmon, we have bluegill, we have crappie. We're more known as a trout fishery. That's why we plant trout a lot. We plant good sized trout. We get them from up at Mount Lassen, and they range from a pound and a half all the way up to 8 pounds.
Wow, that sounds great. I haven't fished that yet, but I think it'll definitely have to get up there. Besides that, it's just a beautiful part of the country.
Oh yeah, the lake is awesome, especially right now with the great weather we've been having. It's been a little cooler, but it's been clear the last couple of days, and it's been beautiful out here.
So basically, you're just starting to do the trout plants. And most of the tourists are gone or going, so it's the perfect time to get up there. And you've got all the accommodations. You got the boats. You got the tackle. You got the whole shot.
Yep, we got everything. We have stores on both shores that can get you all you need for fishing, as far as tackle, hooks, even fishing poles, fishing licenses. We can get everything.
Great. Okay, we really appreciate that, Spencer. Sounds fantastic. We appreciate you coming on to Fish Talk Radio.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All righty. We're going to let you guys go, and you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. You can always tune in to fishtalkradio.com and listen to any previous shows. So we appreciate you tuning in.